The UK Report. Thanks to Peters of Kensington. Grand reopening sale on now. Online and in store at Birkenhead Home Store, Barangaroo and Kensington. Open 7 days.
Let's go to the UK, home of Jaguar, Land Rover, Land Rover Discovery, Range Rover that the Queen drives around in. Adam, they got a problem.
They have, and a big one. They're shedding some of their workforce. In fact, they cut 1,500 jobs last year. They're now cutting 4,500 out of a workforce of 40,000. So with a quick bit of math, that's over 10%. And overall, JLR car sales went down 4% last year, although actually some models went up in sales. But they've been caught out by three things, and this must have affected more than just Jaguar Land Rover. They've been caught out by the fact that the world is turning its back on diesel cars, and 90% of Jaguar Land Rovers are diesel-powered. Throw in a 50% slump in car sales in China. I bet there are a few car manufacturers who've noticed that. And then some Brexit concerns, inevitably, particularly about the supply of parts and trade and tariff and so forth. Those three things, big problem. They're still making a handsome profit. But, of course, if you make less of a profit than you used to, that usually means something's got to give.
It's interesting, isn't it? You've had that debate there about diesel, and the governments are trying to turn their back on diesel-powered vehicles, and that's part of the problem. They've had those unrests in France. We've not had that debate in Australia. I mean, I've got a diesel-powered Land Rover Discovery. No one's ever said to me that I'm a bad person.
And diesel fuel, has it gone up in price, or is it still
No, it's about
more or less
competitive with everything else, and you get better mileage.
That's true about the mileage, but yeah, here though, diesel used to be cheaper than fuel, and now it's more expensive. And now there are all these city centres, London starting it off, who are going to put extra tax if you have a diesel car and you drive into central London, that sort of stuff. So, and then there's the whole thing about emissions and emissions targets. So yeah, our debate here is sort of cut and dry. People are, I've got a mate actually who has a diesel-powered Jaguar, and he reckons it's worth, well, peanuts now, because nobody wants it.
Well, the only person who should be driving a diesel-powered Range Rover into central London's a Queen. No one else. What would you do with a four-wheel drive in London?
I can't see the Queen driving into central London either. Maybe she's being driven, yeah.
Anti-drone devices. We spoke a little about this locally yesterday. In the wake of Gatwick and Heathrow, there's some movement there.
Yeah, the government has announced that all UK airports will get, quote, military-grade anti-drone equipment. We know the RAF are called in to supply, we think, laser and thermal imaging trackers, possibly missile systems as well. They didn't comment on exactly what military equipment was involved. This is a Tuesday at Heathrow, but also, of course, at Gatwick, as you say, before Christmas. Remember, Gatwick was closed for 36 hours. There isn't an airport in the world that recovers from that quickly. But our airports can't rely on military units, is what they're saying, that they have to be able to have their own systems. They can't just call in the Army or the RAF or whatever when they have an emergency. I mean, it's a bit of stable door and horse bolted here, but they're also now looking at drone security at military bases, sensitive sites, quote, prisons and power stations. At which point I'm thinking, why are you only having a look at this? Surely 5 years ago somebody ought to have been doing something, not having a look at it, when it just feels like we're a bit late on this catching.
Yeah, a bit late having a plane come down because of a drone when you try and fix up security. Thank you, Adam, for your help this week. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Steve.
Adam Gilchrist.